Good morning, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick Jay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Monday, May 19th, 2025. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Working with Others on page 98, the first paragraph, beginning with, "It is not the matter of giving," and we will be reading and commenting on that one paragraph, ending with a head of dependence on God. Today's readers are Christina L. and the 12 Steps. Ashley S. will be reading the 12 Traditions. Our Big Book readers are Tamara C. in the text, Marjo, page 164. Ashley F. is also reading that. And our newcomer greeter is Loretta M., and our second hour moderator is Kathy C. The share ID for
Monday. I'm sorry, but I thought Charlotte W. was doing the tradition.
So, yes, is this Charlotte?
Yes, I checked in a few minutes ago.
I didn't hear you, Charlotte. Sorry. So I've
okay.
Got you. All right. Ashley was our backup. So, okay, I've got you. All right, Ashley, we're good on the 12 traditions. Okay. Our newcomer greeter is Loretta M., and our second hour moderator is Kathy C. The share ID for Sunday, May 18th, 2025, is 22,444. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeater can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Christina L. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everyone. Christina L., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida, and here are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. That's not my background noise. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Wow. Thanks for hanging in there. And we need to make sure that these lines are muted when we have background noise like that. Can we please have the lines muted? Thank you. I will now ask Charlotte W. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Okay, good morning, and thank you for allowing me to serve. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supported, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service center may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, and television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. God bless you all. Thank you for allowing me to serve.
Well, thank you, Sharla. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will give you a gentle reminder. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 again to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Working with Others on page 98. The first paragraph with, it is not the matter of giving, and we will be reading and commenting on that one paragraph ending with, ahead of dependence on God. I will now ask Tamara C. to begin reading.
Morning, this is Tamara C., grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Missouri. It is not the matter of giving that's in question, but when and how to give. That often makes the difference between failure and success. The minute we put our work on a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely upon our assistance rather than upon God. He clamors for this or that, claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. Nonsense. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn this truth. Job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence upon God. So to me, this is saying, you know, it's not saying that I don't give. It's a part of my recovery to give. Self-sacrifice is not optional for me. In fact, it's my desired outcome. I want to get closer to my higher power and fit myself to be of service. I want to live a life of usefulness. But I'm not helping when I let others depend on me for their recovery or for their emotional security, their serenity. So I don't place my need to feel useful above the need that others have to experience their own struggle and their own dependence upon the higher power of their understanding. This phrase service plane, I'm interpreting it to mean that I'm trying to be someone's higher power, and that's going to lead to them relying on, or maybe trying to rely on me. And the result of that is they won't stop eating as long as that happens, because I'm blocking them from their dependence on their higher power. When I finished reading this paragraph, it helped me to kind of reflect on where do I place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. And one place is I depend on people's judgment of me, to where I get my sense of worth. In Bill's story on page 2, he said, "I'd prove to the world I was important," and I can really relate to that. And I'm learning to get my value from my higher power instead of the world. But it can still come up. Also, depending on people's behavior, are they meeting my expectations? It's my default to get my sense of security from the behavior of others. And so how do I move from this old way into the new way of dependence upon God? For me, it's in the steps, learning how to use the steps, and then practicing them every day helps me notice when that old way is coming up, and returns me to sanity, gets those things out of the way through doing inventory, 10 steps, talking to others. I can take a breath and breathe my higher power back in. I can listen for God's reassuring voice. I can ask God for help and direction, and share my story with others. And this gets me closer to a higher power, and that's what I want for the people that I work with more than anything. Thank you. I'll pass with that.
Well, thank you for getting us started, Tamara. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. So to get on the share list, please give me your name and first initial or last name. Who would like to share what was read this morning?
Helena from New York.
Who was that from New York? You're very garbled, and I can't hear you very well. If you could please maybe hang up and try
Lisa
calling
B.
back.
Did you get me,
All
Rick?
Right. Okay,
Reba
so I've got
B.
Lisa B, Harlan G,
Leia S,
Leia S,
Anayeta R.
Reva P.
Christine G in Connecticut.
Okay. And let's hold on there a second. I want to go back. The person from New York, could you give me your name one more time? I'm going to see if I can hear you a little bit better.
Sure. It's Carolyn. C-A-R-O-L-Y-N.
Did you say, Carolyn? I'm so sorry. I'm not going to be able to hear you. We really have a bad connection.
No worries.
I'm so sorry. All right, Lisa B, you are up first, followed by Harlan G. Go ahead, Lisa.
Excuse me. Could you tell me what?
So we are on page 91, the first paragraph. Lisa B., you are up first, followed by Harlan G. Lisa B., go ahead and...
page 98, Rick, not 91. Sorry.
Yeah, 98.
Can you hear me, Rick? This is Lisa.
I can hear you now. Yes, yeah, sorry
oh,
for
thank
the
you. Thank
there,
you.
Guys.
Oh,
we
crazy.
Are on page
we 98.
Okay.
Well, thank you for your patience. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm calling from South Carolina. And thank you for everyone's service. And that was such a beautiful lead share. So the service that I provide is having had a spiritual awakening, I try to carry the message. And the answer is the spiritual awakening. I just, I can't really give that to someone. I can share with them what I've done. And I pray for guidance, you know. So sponsorship has been an ongoing lesson for me. It's like a workshop. Someone said it's Miracle Grow for our character defects sponsorship. But the minute I put my work on the service plane where I'm trying to do things for the person, my ego is in there and I'm just getting in the way. My role is to try and share and show them how this has happened for me. And I have this wonderful manual, you know, the big book. This program is so amazing. Working with others, it just works. When I'm working with others, it's a spiritual growth that I keep getting. And the miracle is hopefully happening for them. And sometimes it does happen, you know, for the fellows that I work with. And sometimes it doesn't right in that moment. I don't know how long I'm supposed to be with people. But I'm the one that is blessed. And it's really about reliance on God, not myself. So I have to run everything by my higher power. When I'm going to others with a problem, I can listen to the feedback. But ultimately, my reliance must be on God. And I'm grateful for the fellowship that I have around me, that I can share and connect with others. But ultimately, my reliance is on God. And I'm very blessed to have abstinence and to have recovery. And I talk with people that want it, they want it, they want it. And for whatever reason, it just, you know, it's not happening. And then for others, it does. And it took me 24 years in relapse, you know. And then when I came to this wonderful OA meeting, A Vision for You, and I heard the message of depth and weight grounded in the book, and working with someone in whom the problem has been solved, and I was willing to listen and go to any length. So I'm grateful to be here, and thank you for everyone's service. And I spell my name L-E-S-A. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa B. from South Carolina. Harlan G., you are up next.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Rick. Thanks for your service this morning. And thanks for everybody that makes this meeting possible. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. I look at the first part of this paragraph about giving. And for me, there's one word that separates giving from manipulation. Self-seeking is one of the five defects of character. What is self-seeking? Self-seeking is the action that we take to try to get people to stick to our script, to do our bidding, to think of us how we want them to think of us. And that word is expectation. If I give, I cut the strings on what I'm giving, and it's yours, and we're done. And I give, and I bless you. In manipulation, self-seeking, I give and there are strings attached. You're supposed to like me. You're supposed to veer left when I want you to veer left and veer right when I want you to veer right because you owe me. And that is not giving. That is out-and-out manipulation. And that is not what I can engage in if I want to remain in fit spiritual condition. The other thing that I see in this paragraph after it talks about giving is clamoring for this or that, claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. Nonsense. In other words, BS. Shortest sentence in the book, one word. I want the audacity that I had. I wanted to issue God ultimatum. An ultimatum that, God, you bring me a girl, you bring me money, you make me thin, you make me this, you make me that. By the way, I want to be the first baseman for the Cubs. All that stuff needs to be in place. And if you give me all that, God, then I will do your bidding. how audacious of me, how egomaniacal of me to think that I can give God an ultimatum. My job is to demonstrate my faith by doing the work. Job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. And I have been overly dependent on other people throughout most of my diseased life. And sometimes I get that way in my recovery too. Because I have to have a dependence on God, not on people. And that means I'm going to have to work my tail off, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I want you to do the work, and I'll reap the benefits. It doesn't work that way. Found out the hard way. Doesn't work that way. So I'm going to demonstrate my belief. I'm going to demonstrate my faith, and then I'm going to see the miracles happening. And I'm not going to engage in manipulation today. When I give, to give, and I have a free heart when I give. Rick, thank you for your service, and with that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thanks, brother. Thank you, Harlan G. from Arizona. Leah S., you're up next, followed by Honey Yetta R. Go ahead, Leah.
Thank you so much, Rick. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S. I'm recovered and grateful in Brooklyn, New York. First of all, I owe an apology to this group. On Friday, I was supposed to do service on this meeting, and I simply didn't even get on to this meeting. I was dealing with an emergency at home, and I didn't even have the time. So I apologize for that, and I thank you all for stepping in, whoever did, on my behalf. And now I would like to comment on this paragraph, but Harlan, you put it down so beautifully. So what do I have to say? I have to say that I have to accept life on life's terms. And there are plenty enough adjectives around here, you know, because of this or because of that, or maybe when this or when that happens or whatever it is. First and foremost is, what is the word surrender to me? What is the word understanding that I am not in charge? What does page 61 tell me all about? Am I running everything? I'm doing things, I'm giving orders, and I'm just, you know, everybody's going to just bow down and say, thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't even work, thank you. It doesn't work in any which way. And it's tough. It's tough. But none of us drowned. Rather, we all climbed out and came out so much stronger than we ever imagined that we could be. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Leah S. from New York. Honey Yetta R., you are up next, followed by Reba P. Go ahead, Honey Yetta.
Thank you so much, Rick, for your service. this is Honey Yetta R. from Texas, but I'm calling from Ohio today. I'm at my daughter's house. It is not a matter of giving that is, I'm Hana Yetta R. from Texas. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. But when and how we give. And I haven't said this in a while, but I've always said in the past that I give for fun and for free. You know, when I give with strings attached, when I give with expectations, expectations is a resentment waiting to happen. And that is something that is a luxury. Anger and resentment is the dubious luxury of normal men and women. Well, I'm far from being normal. So I have to give for fun and for free. And that really makes my life so much easier. And depending on other people, for me, depending on other people, came at a high price. depending on other people doesn't mean we can't ask for help. For me, doesn't mean I can't ask for help. I have to ask for help, and I couldn't. I couldn't because I thought that was depending on other people. And then God decided, well, let's see. Let's give you a torn rotator cuff, and you can't use your arm, your right arm, for 5 weeks. Let's see how much help you're going to have then. And I had to ask for help. I had to learn to ask for help. But I've heard people saying when God closes the door, he opens a window, but I have to walk into that door about 5 or 6 times before I realize that I can't get through it, and I'm going to have to turn around and look for that window, you know. But, you know, I'm pretty pig-headed and stubborn, and it takes a lot to make me realize that dependency, that they're talking about depending, for me, I think it talks about the fact that the dependency is, you know, like depending on them for my spiritual growth, for my spiritual outlook. And that I can only depend on God. But asking for help is not the same thing. And I've had to learn the hard way that I have to ask for help sometimes. You know, it says job or no job, wife or no wife, husband or no husband. You know, we simply do not stop drinking as long as we place dependency upon another person instead of God. Well, you know, we can't stop compulsively. I couldn't stop compulsively eating until I said, I'm done. I surrender. I give everything to you. Thank you. I give everything to you, God. Everything. And I'll close with the fact that he gave me miracles. I've had many, many, many miracles in this program. And I want to tell everybody, there's one out there for you. Don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. I love you guys. Thank you, Rick, again. Okay. God bless everyone. Bye.
Well, thank you, honey. R from Texas. Reva P., you're up next, followed by Christine G. Go ahead, Reva.
Good morning, Rick. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. That last line in this paragraph, I'll never forget when I came into program and I read that line, and it just really struck me because I really believed that if you had the job I had, you had the boss I had, you'd have to binge your brains out too. If you had the life I had, if you didn't have the things that I knew were the things that were going to make me happy and at ease, then you would have to. You'd have to binge too. And it was a revelation to me that that I wasn't eating the way I did and behaving the way I did because of externals and circumstances. I was a compulsive overeater. I had an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind. And, you know, I started seeing, as I was in the meetings, when circumstances were good, I pinched my brains out. When circumstances were stressful, I did the same thing. That my disease is independent of externals, and so is my recovery. And one of the biggest blessings and promises that I've experienced is that life can be going the way I like. Life can be going not the way I like. Things can be really tough. People can get sick. People that I love pass away. And my recovery is sort of independent of that. It depends on my internal. It depends, twice in this paragraph it's saying, it depends on my dependence on God. That the whole purpose of putting down the food, working the steps, is to have this spiritual awakening that not only keeps me clean with my substance, but gives me that resource where I can be peace. And what does it say? I think it's the next page. I can be sober, considerate, peaceful, serene, no matter what's going on. To me, that is like the hugest, hugest blessing. So I'm not in just white-knuckled abstinence. And then the last part, when and how to give. You know, I always have to remember that by the time I'm at step 12 and I've had this spiritual awakening, I can have discretion. I can ask for guidance when and how to give. I'd love a recipe book. I'd love this book to tell me, do this, don't do that, do this, do this. But you know what? Every sponsee is different. Every situation is different. And God gives me that discretion. Sometimes doing exactly the same thing is right, and sometimes it's not. It depends. But I now have tapped a resource that tells me what to do when. I don't need the recipe book. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Reba P. from Toronto, Canada. Christine G., you're up next, followed by another group of names.
Hey, good morning. This is Christine G. in Connecticut. Thanks for allowing me to share. I hope it's been 3 days. I got to keep better track, so I apologize if not. But my dependency on God, you know, for me, being a stubborn, compulsive overeater, thank God I'm recovered today. But one of the things that I need to learn how to depend on God is, yes, working these steps, but all those tools and assignments that, you know, various sponsors have offered to me, they may not come directly out of the big book, but they are resources on how to connect with my higher power, how to learn how to hear and devote myself to my higher power. And so that's why I love carrying this message. Is unique to every situation, like priorly mentioned, and that, you know, what works for one person may not work for another person. Reading the big book and just staying pure big book without those assignments might work for somebody, but for someone else who needs a little bit more direction, and how do I depend on my higher power? What does that even mean? Because that's so abstract. So I need to give myself and, of course, my sponsees time to explore ways to do that, because it's not easy often for many. So I'm just so grateful for the tools. I'm grateful for hearing experience, strength, and hope from a diverse amount of people over the years. It's just incredible how God, my higher power is God, how he speaks through everybody in some way or another. And my ears have learned how to hear. And I'm just so grateful for that. And with that, I pass. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Christine G. from Connecticut. Before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter Working with Others on page 8, the first paragraph, beginning with "It is not the matter of giving," and we will be reading and commenting on that one paragraph, ending with "Ahead of dependence on God." And if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. So please give me your name and first initial.
Ross M.
I got Christina J, and that was it.
Ross M.
Nadia.
Okay, Russ M. Was that Nadia?
Yep. Nadia B. Thank you.
Bonnie B.
Roz.
Bonnie B.
Roz G.
Yeah. Here's who I've got: Christina J, Russ M, Nadia B, Bonnie B, Roz G. If I didn't hear you and you tried to put your name in, could you go ahead and give me your name now?
Nicole S.
Okay, Nicole. Let's stop there and we'll see how we are for time. Christina J., you're up first, followed by Russ M. Go ahead, Christina. Christina, hit star 1.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. in North Carolina, and I shared with a fellow, which some of you may relate to, that I was going to try to get my name in, but my stomach was crazed and my brain was shaking. I get so nervous. I want to get my name in early so I don't have to continue to have this problem. But anyway, it's something I need to write about. I never relied on a sponsor for, you know, curing me. I loved my first sponsors, but no one could, you know, no one could make me see the truth. God had to eventually. And even if I had a sponsor I relied on, that would die. It would die like everything else died. You know, I was chasing everything but God. I thought the program, I didn't know I needed God. You know, I thought I had God. Many of us have that. But I went, you know, from food to the program to relapse. And in relapse, I didn't just relapse from, I relapsed while in program with overexercising, shopping. My favorite relapse was the one bite, right, that led to the nest of the bites. I relapsed in fear of money, fear of my boss. I relapsed in fear. I relapsed in going to spiritual seminars, thinking that was going to cure me. Brain supplements besides program. You know, the diet that I went along and did with program, the diet, right, the starvation diet or the protein diet, or I would take diet pills during program. I mean, there was tons of things I did. And you could go on ad nauseum adding, but I loved what Hanayeta R said about giving with expectations, and that was another one of my relapses. All of my giving in my life, even with some of my sponsees in the beginning, was about expectations. You know, that is a huge God of mine, wanting to get results, validation from other people, and that is a huge. When I go into that, that's a relapse. That is a blockage from God. Now, I can't give any of these things to my people or anyone I talk to, but I can tell how I dropped into all these things. And if they drop into them, I can be understanding and kind of guide them back, because there's nothing we can depend on. And so they're like, well, I have God, but I'm still in this and that and the other thing. Well, devotion to the program, because I can't give you that personal relationship with God either. Devotion to the program will eventually change to devotion to God. Because as you devote yourself to the program and you find yourself in these other places of darkness and slipping into the black holes in yourself, because that's where we really go, isn't it? The black holes of, it's not really anybody else. It's our own reaction to everything and our own desires for things. You know, what do they say? Resentment is something you are afraid you're not going to get or afraid you're going to lose. That's it. And trusting God, having complete faith in that personal relationship, you don't have to be afraid of those things because he's in charge. She, it, whatever, love, whatever you want to call it. So devotion, this is just really came through to me. Devotion to program, people, and slowly changes to devotion to God. You finally find that personal relationship. And if you're out there and you don't have it yet, keep coming back. Like everybody says, you'll find it. Keep devoting yourself to the program. Don't give up. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. from North Carolina. Russ M., you're up next, followed by Nadia B. Go ahead, brother.
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, family. Russ M., recovered compulsive overeater, Norristown, PA. Job or no job, wife or no wife. In my case, that almost happened for a minute. And luckily, through the grace of God, that was restored. And, you know, when I hear this passage and just thinking, like, how many times I had all these different weird, warped rationales that, you know, once I get that boatload of money, I could get my mind in check and I could get healthy or for a wedding or I'm going to the beach so I could, you know, I could knuckle it up and it'll be good and I'll get into a habit and I'll be out of this food. And yeah, that didn't work out real great. You know, I did that for, I don't even know how long. We know it's just a terrible process of getting crushed by this disease. Yet these anxieties and things that I struggle with that I'm sure everybody else struggles with, you know, life in general, that doesn't fall in place unless our spiritual life is squared up, or at least that we're striving for it. For me, surrender's big, and that only came from being crushed. That only came from working the 12 steps, enlarging and trying to perfect my spiritual life, and other things fell in place. And then my eyes were open to, like, bro, you can't, even if you think you can control things, you can't control, you have no control over anything. And God is in control. And through the steps, I surrender every part of my life, which is still a difficult thing. You know, I have tendencies. I'm still bad on it. But at least I have a program. I have a way of life that can, you know, we can handle things now. I can lay it over to God through these steps. You know, eating and getting high, and for me, it's just scratching the surface. Like, I want to be free all the way around. You know, I want to have trust in God, trust in my higher power, that things are going to work out right. Not Russ's way, not to manipulate people, but it works out right. And as I'm working with others and developing my spiritual life, keep digging in, it seems to work out. And it it's hard sometimes. It's painful, you know. I think, like, you know, parents or no parents, money or no money, God has me, and it's through the steps and working them. So sorry for the redundancy of my chairs, but love you. Have a great day. I'll pass.
Thank you, SM from Pennsylvania. Nadia B., you're up next, followed by Bonnie B. Go ahead, Nadia.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Nadia B., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Connecticut. I'm so grateful to be here reading with you guys. Thank you for your service. Dependence on God, I think that for me is, you know, just another word for spiritual awakening. Easier said than done for an addict like me. And, you know, this program is rooted in service. And, you know, in order for me to know how to provide the service, how to be of service to God and to others around me, you know, I have to work the program myself. And, you know, this describes the 12 steps, what I've learned through the 12 steps of Eaters Anonymous, and how to be in the world. Because before this program, I knew nothing, had no relationships except that, you know, devotion to food. And then my life is totally in shambles. I learned how to depend on myself very early in life, and I ran with it. And so today, you know, whether, you know, and how I've learned also to be in the world, when I gave something, I expected things in return. And I love that word, you know, that we were discussing today, expectations. My motives, what are my motives? Is it, you know, to provide service to God, which means, you know, that I expect nothing in return, or am I expecting validation? Am I expecting praise? Because that's what human nature is for me. And I'm learning how to depend on God in this world, and not how to depend on praise, validation, money, you know, things in return. What is my motive? Love this paragraph, and love that we are here to be of service, because that's the only way that I can stay sober today. Everything else failed me. Dependence on God and service. That's why I'm here. You know, not out of the goodness of my heart, but because I know this saves my life. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nadia B. from Connecticut. Bonnie B., you're up next, followed by Roz G. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks, Rick, for your service. The shares have been outstanding again today. Bonnie B., gratefully recovered by the grace of my God, living in Minnesota. Yeah, it's not a matter of giving that is in question, but when and how to give. Everything always comes down to, for me, the motive of my heart. I always had a motivation. There was always something behind it. There were always strings attached. Even if I wanted to believe there weren't, if people didn't show up the way I wanted them to show up, I felt disappointed on the inside. It became a deep cut on the inside. And so the program for me now, and people have said this so beautifully, is no expectations. I wake up every day, I offer myself to God. I offer him my heart. I don't offer him my list anymore. I offer him my heart. I do my best to listen, because if I don't listen to God, it's going to be about me again. Even when it comes to serving other people or when it comes to my program, I was wanting desperately to help others, but I was wanting to help them because I felt good on the other side if they came out on the other side. And that was once again all about me. So the service part is huge, and the service that I give to people is to do what I've heard this morning spoken of so beautifully, help them to connect to God. What does that look like? How does that look like? How do they do it? I don't know, but I can just model for them. I can tell them what my experience is and what I've done and what I do, but I don't tell them what they should do or how they should do it, because I don't know how they're going to connect. But the gift of the program is run back to God, be of service to others, and then listen for me, listen to the inside, and do what God would direct me to do with regards to each person. And it's not always the same. And it's with no strings attached. So, you know, the gift that I have and the gift that people gave me is to live it out. And I would say that's teaching by example, right? Just live out. In the middle of doing this thing we call life, and most of us do life on a daily basis, and our program is core, with God being the thing that I tether to, right? But we weave in and we weave out, and we model, hopefully, what it looks like to run back to, you know, to our Creator. And as others have said, we stay emotionally sober and sane. So in the middle of everything, the food is balanced, not an option, because I'm tethered to the one that cares for me, and I know that he's got it all taken care of. I'll end with this. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future, and therefore I can rest. Thank you so much, everyone. Blessings to you all. Have a great day.
Thank you, Bonnie B. from Minnesota. Roz G., you're up next, followed by Nicole S. Go ahead, Roz.
All right. Good morning. Thank you for your service. I'm Roz G., compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, and that's in Los Angeles County. And I have written in the margin of my book here that the sponsor is the lantern, not the light, and that the sponsor's job is to guide the person through the steps, but they're not God. There's a lot of wise people in this program, but none of them are God. And you know, I'll get lots of phone calls that say, "Well, so and so says this. Should I do this?" And I respond to them, and I'm not the all wise one either. But this is what I've learned after sponsoring many, many people, and that is that they're not God, and I will disappoint you. They will disappoint me. And what they're simply trying to do is guide the person through the steps. And same with me and my sponsor. I love her. I adore her. But she's not God. And I've learned, you know, it just takes experience, strength, and hope to say that sponsors have disappointed me over the years. I have one right now that... really, I got very angry at her, and we didn't speak for a week. But after that, I did my 10 steps. I did what I was supposed to do. I apologized to her. We had a sincere face-to-face talk. I mean, FaceTime, and I asked her to forgive me, and she did. So it's learning how to develop a relationship, because in life outside of program, I'm going to have relationships. And so the sponsee relationship teaches me the ups and downs of relationships, you know, that they're not God, that I can count, that I need to count on God more than them. Yes, I can admire their recovery, and I can see what they've done, and I want what they have, but in the long run, I have to depend on God. And I really like that, because you know, God doesn't let me down. God doesn't lie to me. Sponsors generally don't either. But God never lies to me. And no, you know what? The big book doesn't lie to me either. So I just say that, you know, at first, sponsors kind of like God. Wow, I love what they have. Wow, I love who they are. But in the long run, they are going to disappoint me because they're human. As we hear from a wise person, I'll never rise above the state of being a human being. So if I ever sponsor you, I may disappoint you. I may let you down, but I'm simply here to point you to the light. And I'll pass you that. Thank you. Yep, thank you.
Thank you so much, Roz G. from California. Nicole S., you're up next. And then we'll see where we're at with time. Go ahead, Nicole.
Good morning. This is Nicole S., recovered in Colorado. Thank you, moderator, for your service. And this reminds me when I did get recovered, I was doing a different program in OA that was really reliant on a sponsor. And my family and I do a lot of trips in the wilderness where we don't have, you know, I can't have any service on a cell phone. And it hit me one time that I can't have a sponsor be my higher level of authority, that it needs to be God. And because if I rely on another human being who's fallible just like me, I was going to eventually go back in the food because they're going to let me down. But when it's scary for me to put that reliance on God, because I just want people to tell me what to do, and I want to ask somebody, a sponsor, a question, and they'll tell me exactly what to do. A plus B equals C formula. But with God, I have to, sometimes pause, and I've got to ask, and I've got to wait, and He will always give me what I need, though. And I really, I think sponsorship and fellowship is so important in this program, but I have to look at where I'm putting my reliance on. Is it on others or is it on God? And I've also let other people put me in a position of, being more reliant above God. And it is pride, and I have to be really careful that I'm not allowing that to happen. And last thing I want to share is just that, job or no job, wife or no wife, I have to have acceptance of God's world just exactly as it is. And many times I can take something through the Serenity Prayer and I can ask God, what can I change? Is there something I can change here? What can I not change? And then God, help me to accept what I cannot change, and help me, give me the power and strength to take action towards what I can change. And that really helps me to accept just what it is in his world. So thank you all for the wonderful shares, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Nicole F. from Colorado. We've got time for about a minute share if somebody wants to take that. Maybe a little longer.
Michelle P.
All right, Michelle.
Hi, thank you, everyone.
Where are you calling from, Michelle?
I am calling from Rhode Island. Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for the meeting today. And I will say that I very rarely get to get on the meeting live, and I never, ever really share. And I got in under the wire. There were a couple of things this morning. I was like, okay, I'll share. I'll put my name out, and then it didn't work. So is it odd or is it God? Because my quiet time this morning was all about idolatry and what am I putting before God? And so this meeting was so perfect. I am someone who has been struggling and it's, I'm seeing that I'm relying on other things for my ease and comfort and happiness and not my higher power who I call God. So thank you for this meeting, and I am just claiming my seat. Have a good day, everyone.
Well, thank you, Michelle P. from Rhode Island. You just took us out, so thank you. Thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, May 19th, 2025, is 22,445. 22,445. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Ashley F. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thanks, Rick. Ashley F., recovered compulsive overeater in Kentucky. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Freely get what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until